Good morning and welcome to Mondays with Miles. Dr. Brand, this is our first one back after the New Year. Did you have a happy holiday?
I did. Thank you very much. Saw a lot of football on TV.
Did you have any personal time to relax? Because now we're at the NCAA convention, so did you have to gear up for that?
I did have time to relax. Before the holiday, we spent a few days with our grandchildren, and then, frankly, I got to a couch and I watched football for a week. I loved every minute of it.
Doesn't sound bad at all.
Not at all.
You delivered your State of the Association address on Saturday. How is the state of the NCAA right now?
You know, there's a lot to be proud of. It's an enormously successful endeavor. But with any activity this important in our culture, with this many facets and people involved, there are bound to be challenges, and there are challenges as well. So overall, we're doing better and better every day, but our challenges are deep and hard as well.
Your address focused on fairness. Why?
Fairness is a quality of intercollegiate athletics and all that we do that runs through the entire enterprise. It is not just on the field, but it's also how we populate our teams, how we hire leadership, such as coaches and administrators, how we conduct ourselves as people as part of athletics. And so it is a constant and a very important theme that runs through athletics that, frankly, we don't talk enough about.
Why now? Why in what is the first year, the second century of the NCAA, our 101st, why now fairness?
Well, fairness has always been with us, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to emphasize it and really shine the light on how important it is.
You identified three challenges to fairness: sportsmanship, diversity, and hiring and participation opportunities for women. First, with sportsmanship, what does that have to do with fairness?
Well, sportsmanship has everything to do with fairness. In fact, someone might even identify fairness with sportsmanship. But what sportsmanship means, and I tried to articulate this in the speech, and I hope some people will actually go to our website and read it, but what I tried to do in the speech was talk about what are the necessary conditions for fairness in sportsmanship. And there really are two. One is that you respect your teammates and your opponents. And secondly, that you respect the game. And those two features, I think, are really at the heart of sportsmanship.
How do you ensure that sportsmanship is employed on our campuses? Because, quite honestly, we've seen some lack of sportsmanship on our football fields this fall.
We have, and in fact, in the speech, I used that as a point of departure, some of the fights we've had early in the fall. How do we ensure that the student athletes and the fans act with sportsmanship? Well, the good news is that we're in a university, and there's no one better than education than universities, and this is all about education. What we want to do is really help people understand that what sportsmanship is character in the context of intercollegiate athletics. These are competitive environments, but it's the exhibiting character that is most important. And you do that through education. It is the team members, it's the coach, it's going over what's important. And it isn't just the rules of the game, but it's also the conventions of the game. So let me give you an example. In basketball, and suppose it's late in the game and an opposing player is coming up for a key layup and you're guarding and this person is getting by you, it's okay to foul them. You have to pay a penalty
part of the game.
In case they shoot, but it's not okay to foul them harder than it is to disrupt the shot. That's not sportsmanlike. That's really viciousness. And so how do you teach that convention? It's not a rule of the game because you're already fouling someone, you got to shoot foul shots for it. So it's not a rule of the game that that's what you're supposed to do. But the fact is, how do you reinforce that convention? And what's the thinking behind it? What are the attitudes as well as the action? That takes a lot of work. You know, I'm a philosopher by trade. You may know that. And Aristotle said, you learn virtue by doing virtuous acts. What that means is that you know what you're supposed to do in terms of behavior, and you keep reinforcing that until it becomes habitual, until the right attitudes are formed. So I think universities, athletic departments, team members can help people understand what kinds of behaviors are required and why, and if you practice those by doing them over and over again, they will become part of your repertoire of actions.
Sounds like you think that the coaches are responsible for much more than just winning and losing, that they should be judged on how their teams play the game.
Oh, of course they are. I mean, we judge coaches not just their wins and losses, but we judge them all. If you're a good coach, your players play very hard and very cleanly. I mean, playing hard is perfectly consistent with being a sportsman. So take football, for example. If you're not playing hard, if your hits aren't hard, then in a way you're disrespecting the other players because you're saying, oh, you don't deserve my best effort. They do deserve your best effort. So it's perfectly compatible with hard and in contact sports, tough play, but you have to do it in a way that meets the conventions of that particular sport.
The second challenge that you identified was diversity in hiring. It doesn't sound like we're doing the job that we need to. What can we do about that?
Well, we are in some areas. For example, African-American male basketball coaches. I think we've gotten to the point where we do now have a critical mass. And I think good coaches, independently of color, now have opportunities to get initial jobs and change jobs. So we seem to be in good shape in men's basketball. But if you compare men's basketball with football, it's just not the same. There are 119 Division I-A football teams, only seven African-American coaches.
If that.
That's what it is. It's seven.
Seven.
And now we're seeing African-American head coaches, prospects, candidates, get more and more interviews, and we've moved up from three to seven. But I don't think that represents the quality of the candidates. I'm not talking about quotas or anything close to that. What I'm saying, rather, is that in a competitive environment like football, you want to make sure that you put the best coach in there. And what that requires is that we have to change our search processes. We have to make sure that it's an open and inclusive search process so the best talent can rise to the top. We can no longer do it in a quick and easy and sometimes secretive way. It has to be done confidentially, but it shouldn't be secretive. And so I think we have, in that area, for example, opportunities, serious opportunities to improve. But I would say also for leading athletic administrators, ADs, for example, women and people of color should have open and inclusive search processes available to them so that the best talent can rise to the top there too.
The third challenge that you identified for fairness is about participation opportunities for women. Now, Division III has an important proposal on the floor today. It will be decided today. What are your thoughts about maybe that proposal and the opportunities for women that we have out there?
Yeah, I think the most important point about opportunities for young women in intercollegiate athletics is all about Title IX. I think Title IX has had dramatic effects since it was first passed in 1972. We've seen a fivefold increase in the number of young women who are participating in sports, many of whom now are on grants and aid. That's terrific. But it's still not full implementation of Title IX. I think we have to figure out how can we fully implement Title IX without cutting into men's sports, because I want to increase participation opportunities across the board. But how do we make sure that young women get every opportunity to meet their goals and objectives, and if they have the talent to play, there is a place for them. We should not exclude people from participating in intercollegiate athletics solely on the basis of gender.
Any other thoughts on the past few days of convention?
It's, you know, we're right here in Orlando. I haven't been out of the building for quite a while.
Neither have I.
and I'll tell you why, because there's a lot of excitement in the building. A lot of important work is being done. I'm continually to be impressed by the seriousness and the competency of the people who work in intercollegiate athletics, both on the campus and in our office. It's very exciting to me. I can hardly get to sleep at night. Seriously, I'm so excited about the kinds of work and activities that are going on right now. I just came from a lunch, for example, with student athletes, the SAC members. Boy, that was terrific. You know, they're smart as a whip. Mars could be the best of the best, and that was just great fun.
Well, it sounds like the state of the association is pretty strong.
It is, I believe.
Well, thanks for taking the time. What's a busy weekend?
You bet.